With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney. Montanans have a delicate relationship with grizzly bears. They're so iconic and at times inconvenient to what life in Montana is, says Wayne Kazworm, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Recovery Coordinator in Libby.
You love them because they're out there, but you hate them if they're in the backyard eating your bird feeder or tipping over your garbage can.
That sort of situation is what happened to Nancy Hogan in Libby. This October, Hogan walked out into her yard to put feed into her beehives when she learned a grizz had visited her property.
And I see the hive is completely destroyed, and he chewed what he could with on the wax, scraped it off, and they're about 70 pounds of honey in a hive for winter, and he ate the whole thing completely.
Hogan had an electric fence around the hive, but the solar generator powering it had failed. She wasn't upset about it, and she's not really worried about it in the future. The electric fence is back up and working.
They're just animals, like the birds, you know, they're just here, the rabbits, the deer, the grizzly bear. Because I have beehives, that's why they're here, and that's why we are aware, and that we should take precautions. It's just life.
The bear that wrecked one of Hogan's hives turned out to be a celebrity among grizz recovery experts in the Cabinet Yak area of northwest Montana and northern Idaho. Recovery coordinator Wayne Kazworm says it was the first bear recovery managers tracked between the Cabinet and Yak Mountains, mountain ranges that are about 45 miles apart.
The significance here is gene flow into this population, into the Cabinets in particular.
The Cabinet Yak Recovery Zone is split by the Kootenai River. The Yak lie in the north, the Cabinet in the south. Because the bear populations are separated by distance in the river, that makes bear population growth in the area more challenging. Kazworm says the bear that moved between the two regions hasn't mated yet, but he's a big, healthy male and should do well in the breeding season.
And hopefully be the father of some cubs in the future. And that's important because we see gene flow into this population. We see bears getting there.
As Kazworm walks down a path along the Kootenai River, he gestures with his hands to each side of the 2,600 square mile recovery area.
Of that, we've got about 1,500 or 1,600 in the Cabinets portion and about 1,000 or 1,100 in the Yak.
Kazworm says about 50 grizzly bears now live in the Cabinet Yak. That's up from 20 bears two decades ago. To keep the population growing and the gene pool cycling, other recovery areas bring a bear into the Cabinet Yak about once a year. Kazworm says the grizz recovery in this area was needed after a variety of impacts during the development and exploration of the West.
I think probably hunting played a part of it. Certainly people killing bears because they were concerned for protection of property, protection of life, protection of livestock. And, you know, we accessed a lot more of the country through building of roads for timber harvest, for mining, which put people in closer proximity to bears and gave people the opportunity to kill bears for whatever reason.
The grizzlies listing under the Endangered Species Act prevents them from being hunted now, but human-bear conflicts remain one of the biggest battles in population recovery. It's such a problem that full-time positions were created in each of the recovery zones to help people learn how to live among bears. In 2007, Kim Annis became the Cabinet Yak Bear Management Specialist for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
There was a lack of understanding of how to successfully live in bear country on a long-term scale.
Chicken coops, beehives, fruit trees, and garbage cans are welcome mats for grizzly bears looking for an easy meal. Anna says the problem isn't the bear, it's the unfenced chicken coop or the type of garbage can. So she helps homeowners set up their property in a way that is discouraging to bears.
Use a lot of electric fencing. We can use what we call unwelcome mats, they're nail boards. There's a lot of different types of things depending on anyone's specific situation because no two people live the same way. No two people have the same living standards. And so we need to be able to tailor it to them in order for it to work for them permanently.
Creating a place where humans and bears can cohabitate is necessary for the goal of 100 grizzly bears living in the Cabinet Yak to be reached, Anna says. It's slow and hard work, says recovery coordinator Wayne Kazworm, because it's reversing a historical trend of human-bear interactions.
And that has happened in the past when people and bears came together. Bears lost.
This week, the Interagency Grizzly Bear Committee will be meeting in Missoula for 2 days to discuss policies for grizzly recovery in all the recovery zones throughout the Northwest. Montana holds 4 of the 6 grizzly recovery zones established after the grizzly was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 1975. During meetings Tuesday and Wednesday, wildlife officials will talk about solutions to human-bear conflicts, give updates from each region, and talk about the progress of the delisting process for the grizzlies in the Yellowstone ecosystem. We'll have coverage on those meetings throughout the week. In the Cabinet Yak, Wayne Casworm estimated the grizzly population is growing around 1.4% a year. It's not great, but it's getting better, he says.
The recovery plan is not a completely unchanging entity. It is a dynamic in that there are some changes that have been made over time.
Casworm says it's still going to be a long time before they reach their goal of 100 bears in the Cabinet Yak. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.